Mornings with Ryan DeLon and Tara Fox.
You guys are the best.
7 to 10 a.m.
You dangerous.
Hot Radio Maine.
Thank you. I love you.
Bye.
Love you too.
Maine's Hit Music Show.
So we got 21 Savage tickets that we're going to give away right now. 207-807-1104 is the phone number. 21 Savage, end of this month, Xfinity Center, JID, and Nardo Wick also on that tour. If you would like to go, 207-807-1104 is the phone number. And this morning's question is what, Tara?
What comedian or celebrity would you want to roast you? I was going to say, if you were to be roasted, and I said, no.
Let's make it simpler.
Cut to the chase. What comedian or celebrity would you want to roast you after we've all been inspired from the Tom Brady roast?
You know what? You've had some great achievements in your life. You are the GOAT. You're going to get up there on that stage. Who do you want on the lineup to roast you? 207-807-1104. Tara, your pick is?
I pick Nikki Glaser. I stole her.
Oh, that was going to be my pick.
Well, I've always loved her, and I feel like we have a special connection after she called us on the phone and we did a really fun interview with her. So I'm picking her.
Was she the interview that we did where we named our vaginas?
Yes.
Amazing. She was great. She by far was the best at the roast. Now I have to give me a second. We'll get other people's answers. I'll come up with a better one. But that was going to be my answer. I was going to choose Nikki as well. I'll come up with a plan B, though. Give me a moment. 207-807-1104. The question is,
what comedian or celebrity would you want to roast you?
Michael Scott from The Office.
Sir, that's a character.
Yeah, I know. I want
that's not a
Steve Carell in character.
Okay.
Like Ron Burgundy did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. I'll accept that.
I want him in character, and I want him to do the boom, roasted.
Okay, good answer.
You know what I mean? Amber from Sanford, what celebrity or comedian would you want to roast you?
I would definitely have to say Kevin Hart.
Ooh, okay.
I like that Kevin Hart set the tone during the Tom Brady roast. He came out and didn't pull any punches, and you're like, all right, it's going to get uncomfortable. We know where this is going. Didn't waste time. Got right into the divorce jokes. I was like, okay.
Yes.
He was a quality host.
Definitely my first choice would have to be Kevin Hart.
All right. Tara, you're a little critical of Kevin Hart at times. How did you think he did for the roast?
I think he's a good sport.
Wow. All right. We'll leave it at that. All right.
No, he makes me laugh. He makes me laugh sometimes, but not all the time.
I was saying, how do you think he did as a host? You have to give him a grade as a host for the roast.
Oh, like A, B, C?
Yeah.
Sure. I'll give him an A. He did a really good job.
That sounded begrudgingly, but okay. Kaylee in Milton, New Hampshire. Celebrity roast. You are the celebrity. Who do you want up there roasting you?
I say Rob Schneider or Adam Sandler.
Okay.
Who was the first one?
Rob Schneider.
Oh, Rob Schneider. That's fun.
Yeah, I feel like they're nice enough not to make me cry, but they're going to give some good roast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll be a little more sensitive. They're not like Jeff Ross cutthroat.
Yes, exactly. I watched that last night and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal for sure. They did not pull any punches.
Yeah, no, it was rough. Nikki was definitely my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. I think she did it best.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right, are you trying to win 21 Savage tickets?
Of course I am.
Well, let's make this happen. We picked your text. We're hooking you up. You're going to the show. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're very welcome. You got a plus one. Who are you going to bring with you?
My husband, most likely, or my best friend.
All right, there you go. Either way, can't go wrong. It's going to be a good night, the 31st at the Xfinity Center. You're going to get to see 21 Savage, JID, Nardo Wick, and more. Congrats. Ticket giveaways made hot in Maine by the garage at the Sanford Traffic Circle. Save 20% off Maine's dopest recreational dispensary, fueled by Green Truck. Next chance to win happens this afternoon at 6 p.m. with BR. Congrats again. Do we lose you?
No. Oh.
I said congratulations. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hi.
I said congratulations. Maybe she's just like rude and doesn't want to say thank you.
No, I bet she is saying thank you.
We just can't hear her? Yeah. All right.
Hello?
Congratulations! No, I think she's just rude, Tara. I don't think she wants to say thank you. Are you there?
I'm here. Sorry. It's New Hampshire. We have a terrible service.
I said congratulations, and I thought you were being rude and not saying thank you.
No, thank you so much.
All right.
Hot Radio Maine.
Let me explain something to you one time.
Hot Mornings with Brian DeLon and Tara Fox. 5 things you need to know.
James Thomas Ruggieri was installed as the 13th bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Portland during a two-hour ceremony inside the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception on Cumberland Ave yesterday. Ruggieri assumed the top spiritual leadership position for the nearly 300,000 Catholic Mainers. You couldn't pay me to sit through a two-hour church service at this point in my life. Just think about how boring that has to be. I've put in my time as an altar boy. I've done my fair share of church.
I feel like people who go to church don't, maybe I'm speaking on behalf of these people, but I feel like people that go to church, they're going every weekend. It's at least an hour. I don't feel like it's boring to them because why would they keep going?
I don't know, but I know there's plenty of children in the pews that are going, oh my God.
That's why they have the downstairs for the kids. In the few times that I've gone to church with people, that because they were going to church and I was just with them on that Sunday, the kids get like a cool downstairs and they get coloring books.
No, that was
they get to color in pictures of Jesus.
They didn't have the downstairs in my church. You had to sit in the pews and you had to shut up. And the younger kids had bags of Cheerios. I don't know why that was a thing, but everybody had bags of Cheerios in church, the little kids.
You got a snack.
Got a snack. Can't make it through 2 hours without a snack. I was also a very bad altar boy.
You don't say.
Yeah, like they would.
I would never imagine you to be a good one.
They would hand out the communion. This is how I know I'm going to hell. They would hand out the communion.
Which is what?
It's the body of Christ.
Okay, I know what it is when you say it like that.
Christ crackers.
Yeah.
They would hand out the communion, and they had the, I forget, there's a name for the people that hand them out. They would come up, but like basically it was our break time. So as an altar boy, we could go in the back, and we would go into the fridge, and we would sneak swigs off of the wine.
That's so crazy to me because you were living it, and you were in the church, and you were baptized, and you came from a religious family. The few times that I went to church, all I wanted in life was to try the body of Christ. I wanted to try that cracker so bad. And I thought about every time going up, there was something I had to do and I can't remember what it was.
You had to do
but
that.
But I had to do that. No, I had to alert him. Who's him? The priest? Who's leading the sermon?
Oh, there's something they say something like the body of Christ and you say
I had to alert him that I wasn't baptized so that he would not give me the cracker.
You didn't get your first communion baptized or your first communion. You couldn't get
neither.
You can just sit down. You didn't have to walk up.
Well, my whole family got up without me.
Well, you get up and then you can alert the priest.
It was not my whole family. It was like my stepmom and her sister.
They'll bless you.
But I can't remember what the motion was. I want to say like, I don't think I crossed my arms like a water slide, like I'm going down a water slide, but I had to do some sort of motion to say like, I cannot have this. And then he would dip his thumb in oil and he would put a cross on my head.
Hey, bless you.
So I'd have an oily head and no cracker.
And then you would break out inevitably.
And I always wanted the cracker. And I would think about sometimes just putting my palm out like in that cupping motion and just take it and eat it. But I thought that I would burn alive in front of everybody.
Oh yeah, that's what happens.
And end up in hell. So I was terrified to ever do it. And you're telling me that you and the boys were in the back room swigging wine? Like you were drinking the blood?
No, it's not the blood yet because it doesn't turn into the blood until it's blessed by
that.
A priest.
So I was so scared. I was more scared than you. You clearly weren't scared at all.
It was just like Carlo Rossi or whatever the jug of wine was in the back.
That's driving me crazy because I had to do something with my hands to say like, I can't eat this cracker.
You know what was gross to me? When they would do the wine, this as a germaphobe must have drove you crazy. I don't know if you ever saw it, but they wiped the like chalice or whatever with the same rag over and over again. And each person in the entire parish is sipping out of the same cup.
I did obviously think like, that's a little strange. They're all drinking out of the same glass.
And you're cleaning it with the same cloth. So it's gross. Also, the other thing that would creep me out is the older crowd. I wonder if they've all filtered out by now. They would stick their tongues out and the priest would place the Christ cracker on the tongue. Instead of doing the, you know what I mean? Instead of doing the hand thing, they would go up and they go, ah.
Oh my God.
Church.
Fun times.
Anyways, moving along. That's number one for five things. Shouts to the new bishop. TikTok is suing the U.S. government to stop the recently passed measure, which bans the app if its Chinese owners do not sell to an American company. The lawsuit argues that the law signed by President Biden last month is an unprecedented violation of the First Amendment. This thing's going to get tied up in courts, and it'll be interesting to see if it ever actually gets banned. I don't think it will. I feel like they'll figure something out. For the first time in its 114-year history, as the Boy Scouts of America, the organization is changing its name.
Wow. Why?
They are going to be called Scouting America, no longer the Boy Scouts, in an effort to be more inclusive. In the next 100 years, we want any youth in America to feel very, very welcome to come into our programs, said the group's president, Roger Crone. So no longer going to be the Boy Scouts. It's going to be Scouting America.
I'm staying off Facebook today. I'm staying off Facebook today.
Please post that as a story, like just that. I know it's in five things, but just post that as a story on our Facebook so I can go and read the comments later. Jaylen Brown scored 32 points. Derek White made 7 3-pointers and added 25. And the Celtics blew out the Cavs 120-95 Tuesday night in a game one of their second round playoff series. Game two is going to be tomorrow night. Let's go. It's not even real competition there. The Bruins, by the way, are up 1-0 to the Panthers, and they play their game two tonight. It's every other night. Bruins, Celtics.
Busy.
It's a great time to be a New England sports fan. Last but not least, for five things. Actually, this is kind of least when you look at the importance of everything, I guess. Starbucks has introduced three new drinks.
Don't tell me it's the spicy ones.
No, they mimic.
I was going to say, that's old
get
news.
This. They mimic the sensation of drinking bubble or boba tea. The beverages will feature raspberry-flavored pearls. The drinks are the Summer Berry Refresher, the Summer Berry Lemonade, and the Summer Skies drink with coconut milk. Starbucks will have extra wide straws to drink up the pearls. They were feeling the pressure from the boba moving in across from them in the main mall. They had to shut down that main mall store because boba was taking them out. And now they're like,
went out of business.
We're going to put boba on the menu. We're going to do this.
So I don't love tapioca boba, like the dark.
But you like this fruit
chewy
stuff?
Ones. But I love the popping boba because it literally is just candy, I feel.
Yeah.
I love it on frozen yogurt, especially.
I love the tapioca boba.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
It's too much chewing.
Big fan.
I don't really like to chew when I'm drinking something.
I like seeing it come up the straw, too. I don't know why. It's like, whoop, 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 whoop. That's going to be choking hazard for little kids, right? You got to be safe with those Starbucks
drinks.
For
anybody, yeah.
Did the Starbucks across from the mall shut down too? It looked like it was abandoned. Are they remodeling? They have a dumpster in the drive-thru and all the signs torn off.
On Main Mall Road?
The one right across from the mall where there's like the Mattress Firm.
What?
Yeah, it's. I don't know if they're remodeling or not, but there was a dumpster in the drive-thru and all of the menus were torn off of the
what
drive-thru
the
boards. I know the one just opened up right across from us.
I did not know that.
Which I heard there are sassy workers over there. So just be warned that they're a little sassy at the Starbucks, the new one in Scarborough.
Thank you.
That is five things you need to know how to be by the law offices of Joe Bornstein. Accidents happen to be there specially. 207 Call Joe or online at joebornstein.com.
Hot Radio Maine.
Oh, Lord.
Hot Mornings with Ryan DeLon and Tara Fox. Dirty on the 30.
Pretty wild scene yesterday. A man was shot outside of Drake's home in Toronto yesterday morning. Witnesses described the shooting as a drive-by. It was reported that the victim was a member of Drake's security. So not Drake, but Drake's security. The victim was hospitalized with serious injuries, but not life-threatening. It is unknown if Drake was at the home during the shooting. The suspect fled in a vehicle and is still at large.
What?
The incident happened several days after Kendrick Lamar used a screenshot of Drake's home with the address as the cover art for his Not Like Us diss track. I will say, though, it's not like he did dox him by doing that, but
can Google it.
People, it's a well-known address. Like, they know exactly where Drake lives.
I'm always so shocked by that I can just look up where anybody lives. I could look up where you live. Like, that information is just out there.
DJ Academics revealed that a new diss song was set to be released yesterday, but the shooting resulted in an indefinite delay. There was supposed to be some new music today, Act told his viewers. I'm not saying from who, but the general belief is that Drake was going to be dropping something else, given that Academics had the inside scoop on most of the OVO releases. It's getting serious. It's taken off of the records and it's going into real life now. In fact, Drake's OVO store in London was vandalized with spray paint on Tuesday. The black spray paint spelled out the title of Kendrick's diss track, They Not Like Us.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
I gotta be honest, that song is probably the most catchy out of all of the diss tracks, and that was released last weekend. Why do you got a smirk on your face?
Because, like, I don't know how to say this without coming off so mean, but that just really grossed me out, and I felt secondhand embarrassment for whoever went out and spray painted that and vandalized the store, because, like, Kendrick Lamar doesn't know you or care about you.
No, and you're in
London.
That's
embarrassing. I can't imagine imagine doing something like that on the behalf of a celebrity. You know what I mean? It's like, oh,
I'm guessing it was probably like some 16-year-old knucklehead. You know what I mean?
I guess. But to me, it's just embarrassing.
You want to talk about embarrassing? I think this is embarrassing. Joe Biden's campaign took aim at Donald Trump on social media Monday by flipping lyrics to Kendrick Lamar's Euphoria diss track. In doing so, they posted a video of several pictures of the former president while the song plays. You know how he says, I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress in the Euphoria song. Mm-hmm. So they had that playing, but then they put the lyrics up and added to it on the screen as Donald Trump pictures went by. So it said, I hate the way that you walk over women's rights. I hate the way that you talk about immigrants. I hate the way that you dress. And it was a picture of Donald Trump dressed ridiculously. I hate the way that you sneak diss on Truth Social. And the text this was over the video.
This can't be real.
It's
what was this on?
It was on the Biden-Harris headquarters official Twitter pages where I watched the video.
This country is so screwed. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The president of the United States should not be making memes or allowing his team to make memes.
Mind you,
it really scares me.
The profile.
Especially after watching Red Dawn.
The profile picture for that account, by the way, is Biden with the red eyes.
That was what got me all fired up.
I know. That's why
I just had that in there. Is it too much to ask to just have mature people in office?
Clearly, they have an intern helping out with that account.
That's not appropriate.
That put that up.
Makes us look like such a joke. I'm sorry.
I don't disagree with you.
Becoming a doomsday prepper. I'm like actually terrified.
Tara's taking her machine gun lessons.
I don't have one yet.
I'm going to get one when you get one just to protect myself from you.
Like, is that too much to ask for the president of the United States to not make a meme video of a diss track from Rap Beef?
I think you're asking a lot there. He's old. He's trying to appeal to the younger.
I do not like it. It's not appealing to me. It's terrifying.
A source told People that Giselle is deeply disappointed by the disrespectful portrayal of her family on Sunday evening's roast show. As always, Giselle's priority is to support her children who were affected by the irresponsible content that was broadcasted, the source said. Kevin Hart first mocked Brady over Giselle's new boyfriend, her jiu-jitsu coach, and then Nikki Glaser had a bunch to say. She said, Tom, the only thing dumber than you saying yes to this roast was when you said, hey, babe, you should try jiu-jitsu. She then added, you have 7 rings, well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back. And there was also something about him beating Tom up while he was doing something with Giselle that I can't mention on the radio. So she was not happy with those jokes. And then the source added that this past week, Giselle has been tirelessly dedicated to aiding those in need back in her home state in Brazil, which is grappling with the worst flooding in its history. She was concerned about family affected by the devastating floods. So to hear her life being joked about was very disappointing. She's just having a rough couple weeks.
Yeah, I think she's going through it. I felt so bad that the police sold body cam footage of her being pulled over and sobbing to TMZ. That was so lame. She's being chased by paparazzi. And I feel like she is a very sensitive person.
Keeps it low key.
So this is not fun for her.
I did see some people were critical over like Kim Kardashian jokes and a few other jokes. But all those people opted in and they showed up and they were there. So when you opt into a roast and you take part in a roast, you know that you're also going to get roasted. It's not just Tom Brady. Nobody's safe in the building at those things. And she did not opt in, though.
No, she wasn't there.
She was just at home. She's still got a bunch of the jokes. I don't think that.
And if he really was standing up for Tom Brady, really standing up for Robert Kraft and never stood up for her, that if I were her, that would hurt my feelings even more.
Well, maybe she was cheating with the jiu-jitsu coach.
Doubt it.
Well, I don't think Kevin Hart, Nikki Glaser, or any of them are losing sleep over it. I did see an interview with Nikki where she said that she thinks that that was a genuine reaction from Tom Brady. Like he wasn't.
I know. My first impression was that he was just being playful, but now everyone is thinking it was real. I'm like, that's stupid if it was real.
Well, she said that she even talked to Jeff Ross after the joke and he was like, did I go too far? Did I cross a line? Like he even brought it up and felt uncomfortable about it. And that guy doesn't feel uncomfortable about anything.
I have thoughts on that. I think it's ridiculous. Like, if you do something that ridiculous, people can joke about it.
The ring Kevin Hart gifted Tom Brady for being a good sport during Sunday's roast, for the most part, is worth $40,000. Jason Arishabin, who created TB12's final Tampa Bay Super Bowl ring, was the mastermind behind the piece. He loaded it up with just under 400 diamonds, rubies, and sapphires. It's all set on yellow gold and weighs around 6 carats. So now he technically does have 8 rings, the Super Bowl ring, plus surviving a roast, you get a ring for it, I guess, now. I wonder if this is going to be a repeated thing. Like, Netflix is a joke was the festival, and this was tied in with that. Next year, when they do the festival again, will they have another roast?
I hope so, because I feel like maybe I'm misinformed, but roasts disappeared for a little while.
Well, that's what Jeff Ross was saying. One of them was saying, I feel like Jeff Ross just disappeared because you only see him when the roast happened. But people were scared to get roasted. And then Tom Brady was a good sport and stepped up and did it. And then everybody else got a little sensitive about the jokes.
Is it true? Because I have not gone back and rewatched because I was watching it live. Is it true that the Kim Kardashian boos were edited out?
I have not gone back and rewatched it either, but I did hear that they edited out the boos.
That's crazy if so. That's crazy.
Which is
trying to rewrite history.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan.
I think she
did. But she handled it really well, and that kind of
added to it.
It added to the whole thing, the vibe, the experience.
Yeah.
So that was weird.
I know. I saw that headline.
And that's why we like watching it live.
And I'm going to have to go back and rewatch to confirm. But I did see that people were saying they took out the boos. Jim Jones got into a 2-on-1 tussle on an escalator at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport on Saturday. So much going on that we didn't even touch on this when it happened. The weekend was crazy between Drake, Kendrick. Who else? Lovers and Friends getting canceled. There was like 8 other things that happened over the weekend. This Jim Jones fight we forgot to talk about. So after throwing a man down the escalator, there's not going to be a stain on Jim Jones's record. No one involved wants to press charges, and the cops are actually backing Jim's version of events. Jim Jones told officers the altercation started when he stood up to collect his belongings from the first class overhead compartment as the plane landed, but before it came to a complete stop. He claims that prompted a fellow passenger to confront him and push him in the chest. Jim gave him a stern warning, and the passenger actually apologized. Jim told cops another guy, Alexander Leck, also got involved by screaming at him from a different seat. Deputies were actually called to the gate, but Jim declined to report the incident and headed to baggage claim. Alexander, I guess, continued to follow and antagonize Jim and attempted to make him flinch with a couple of sudden movements. After the second jerk motion, Jim detained him until deputies could get to the scene. The video shows the detaining, but before that, it also shows Jim picking up Alexander and tossing him down the escalator.
Why were these people even trying to micromanage the plane in the first place? Like, mind your business.
Who knows? Honestly, if people get up, I'm just happy. Get up, get out. Make your way towards the exit.
Are you serious?
Huh?
I feel like that's a very unpopular opinion on a plane.
When you're in first class, you're in the front of the plane.
Oh, when you're in first class, yeah. But when you're in the back of the plane and everyone stands up and then, yeah. Like, people rush to the front.
No, I want
people hate that.
I want the people in the front. I'm assuming first class is in the front. I want the people in the front to get their bags and get off the plane. So I'm the regular folk in the back.
I can't remember where I saw this the other day, but I wanted to comment on it. I can't remember what it was on, but I saw probably TikTok. This woman was saying that, or she was in the comments of some video, and this has happened to me before, where you're the last to board the plane. There's no more overhead storage, but they wouldn't let you check your bag at the gate because there's just no more room, but there's nowhere to put your bag. And so you're struggling to jam it in or struggling to lift it up because it's heavy, and everyone on the plane is just staring at you, watching you struggle. This has happened to me multiple times, and this girl was telling her story about how it happened and how no one stood up to help her, but there's so much tension in airports and on airplanes that she snapped and was like, are you going to stare at me or are you going to help me out? And they were like, and they got up out of their seat and they helped her, and she was telling the story, and then people were roasting her in the comments being like, it's no one else's responsibility to help you lift your bag. And I thought, what an interesting perspective and point of view, because I hate when I have an audience and they're watching me struggle, and I have said something under my breath before. I've said, thanks for the help. And I sit down in my seat when no one helped me because they're just staring at you. It's like, I'm a weak little girl. Help me, please.
And then some guy says, I'll help you. And you go, get away from me, creep.
No, when I'm traveling by myself, I'll take like all the help I can get. It doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what they look like. If they can lift my bag for me, I'm very happy. So I just thought, oh, that is interesting, because it is not their responsibility. But
maybe if you were more approachable and smiled more, people would come up and help you.
I don't know why you've said this to me more times than I can count in the past couple of weeks, and I don't really know where it started or why.
It's not really about you. It's just I feel like that's...
I know, but you saw it, like, it got brought back up somewhere on social media, and you saw it somewhere, and you clung to it, and you've said it to me, like, a few times each week since.
I don't know. That's what happens with my brain. I get stuck on things.
It's like, well, should I... Maybe I should just take a breath and say, can someone please help me?
I actually don't think you have the... what is it? The RBF?
Really?
I don't feel like you have one. Maybe it's just because Maura's is so bad that I've just become used to hers.
I've been told I have a pretty bad one.
Not compared to
hers. Or I look like I'm 13.
You even told me she had a bad one.
When I first met her, I'm like, damn, this girl's grilling me. And then she opened her mouth. I'm like, wait, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's sweet. Dirty on 30 is made hot and made by Side by Each Brewing. Beer, coffee, and food for sustenance morning, noon, and night. Get chicken and waffles for brunch this weekend at Side by Each, Mine and Ave in Auburn.
Hot mornings with Brian DeLon and Tara Fox. Yeah,
every morning.
What do we want to talk about before we get ready for Brains for Bank?
Well, it's Wednesday, so I have a would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather date someone with an overbearing ex or overbearing parents?
Ooh, neither. Would you rathers are never good options here. Never. You have to choose one.
Well, that's the fun of it.
Overbearing ex or an overbearing parent.
Parents.
Both of them. What are you going with?
I'm going to go with the ex just because I've seen firsthand people who have overbearing, I don't know if you call them in-laws if they're not married, but whatever. And it can literally ruin a relationship.
I'm going to go with parents.
Okay.
So you've seen it ruin relationships?
I've seen it in real time ruin relationships. And I can't even believe that relationships parent to child even exist when the child is a full grown adult. I'm like, what? They have this much influence?
I feel like it's not such an easy question. There's so many variables here. Like my mind instantly goes to, is she ready to stand up to the parents? Because if so, let's do this.
Actually, now that I'm remembering, a long time ago, I did date someone with overbearing parents, and it was a really big issue in our relationship, and we had to break up because of it. I just completely forgot about that. It sucks because they're so involved in everything, and then they'll text you on the side, they'll call you on the side, they'll get your family members' phone numbers. It's absolute chaos when the parents are involved. So.
I really think it comes down to the person that you're dating, though, and how they react to it.
Well, I feel like the only way to get away from it to overbearing parents is to go no contact.
Well, if they stand up to their parents and they're ready to do that.
I don't know if it ever stops, though, because the parents are like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I'm your parent.
I'm just worried about the ex like trying to murder me.
No, I'd rather have an overbearing ex. Because then it's like, you're crazy. And, you know, they might pop out at events or try to stop your wedding. Say, I object. But I think that's
have you
better.
Have you ever
I think that's better.
Intrusive thought.
Spontaneous.
Have you ever seen like an ex get married and post on social media and been like, it would have been funny if I showed up and was like, hey, I object.
In real life, no.
Okay, just wondering.
Have you?
No, of course not.
Have you thought about doing that?
I have the intrusive thought, not that like I feel the need to do that, but I think it would be hilarious.
I don't know if this is actually true. I think it might be true in some states, but I've heard of horror stories where people are trying to be funny at the wedding and they say, does anyone object to these two getting married? And someone says, I object. And then they actually cannot go through with the wedding. I've heard of horror stories like
really?
That happening.
I don't know. That seems like a...
Well, if it's a religious... If it's in a church, they're like, well, we can't go through with it. We can't marry you today. Sorry.
But the person can't just immediately go, no, I was just kidding.
But why is that even an option to object from people? Why does your opinion on two people getting married stop a wedding?
You don't want to get me started on my thoughts on marriage and weddings because everything's made up in the beginning.
Wait, but that's so weird. I've never actually taken time to think about someone can stand up and say, I do not want these two people to get married. And they're like, damn, all right. Why is that an option? Why do they ask the crowd?
Why do you even need to get married? I don't understand the institution.
I could give you a full list of reasons, financial reasons.
Financial reasons, but you don't need to have the wedding. You can just go down to town hall and sign the paperwork.
That's not really romantic. To some, you can spice it up. You can make it romantic.
You know what's romantic is saving all the money that you are going to spend on a wedding and then building a home together.
Building, not buying. Okay.
Or I meant building metaphorically speaking.
Okay.
But yes, having a home together. Anyways.
You don't think that's insane? Like the more you think about it, that if you had a wedding in a church, someone can just stand up and say, I don't want these two together. Sorry.
But imagine that wasn't a thing. All of the TV plot lines that include that wouldn't exist.
Why was that even made possible?
It's okay, like a classic television trope.
We're so off topic now because that just...
Brittany in Wells, would you rather date somebody with overbearing parents or an overbearing ex?
Okay, I want to disclose that I don't want either, okay? I have been with my youngest daughter's father for 10 years, okay? His ex-wife is a miserable, I will not say the word, on live radio.
You can say it, we'll beep it, say it.
Okay, she's a miserable
Ah, that wasn't the word I was thinking!
I thought you were going to say the B word! Yeah. Oh my God!
All right, she's a miserable How's that for you? But she has made my life a miserable living hell to this day, 10 years later. It's horrible.
Okay.
I mean, then on the opposite spectrum, I dealt with his parents. They are complete psychos. His mother was in a nut ward when he was younger. Let's see. I mean, she's that crazy. Excuse my language.
Wait, and so you must really love this guy, because this is a lot.
I absolutely love him. I have gone through hell and back with him.
But...
And we won't even go there. Won't even go where I've been with him.
You are, like, the perfect person to answer this, because you're an expert. You've dealt with both of them. Which one is the worst?
The ex-wife.
Wow, okay.
The exes.
All right, so you're going overbearing. Sure. You'd rather have overbearing parents.
Yeah, because I can disown the mother, and she's dead to me.
Okay.
But the ex-wife he has kids with, and they'll always communicate.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that during the initial discussion of the topic, but if you have an ex and then there's kids involved, that adds a whole nother layer, because you're right. You can't cut that person off if you're trying to co-parent.
You can't, and that makes it so much more miserable.
God. All right. Well, we appreciate your expert opinion on this. We got to play Brains for Bank right now, though. So we're going to take caller number 10. Hang up, call us right back. 207-807-1104 is the phone number. Call number 10. There's $800 in the prize pot for Brains for Bank. 207-807-1104. Call number 10. Hit us up right now. And you could be walking away this morning with some extra $100 bills in your wallet. Corey in Topsom, would you rather
date someone with an overbearing ex or overbearing parents?
Oh, I'd have to go with overbearing parent versus an ex.
And why?
Overbearing parents, you can just flush them out. Overbearing ex, you can't. There's nothing you can do about that.
Especially if there's a kid involved, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Corey, are you looking to play Brains for Bank?
I am.
Let me pull this trivia question up and get ready to go. You're our caller number 10.
Let's go.
So do you know how this works?
I do.
All right, perfect. So for people playing along at home or in their car, I'm going to give Corey one question. He's going to have 5 seconds to answer. If he answers correctly within the 5 seconds, $800, Corey, is going to be yours this morning.
Let's go.
If you answer incorrectly or after the buzzer goes off, then that money rolls over. We add $100 to it, and B-All will play for $900 this afternoon. Are you ready?
I am, as ready as I'll ever be.
How many syllables make up a haiku? Came in after the buzzer, but I heard five is five correct.
No, wrong!
Incorrect. The correct answer, Corey, we were looking for 17.
Oh, geez, that was way off.
It's been a while since those. When did we have to write haikus? Was that elementary school or middle school that they would make you do the poetry?
Probably middle school.
Middle school? Yeah. All right, Corey, good news, though, here is that the prize pot grew, $900, and you can play again this afternoon. So try back with B-All at 5 p.m., all right?
All right, thanks, guys.
Brains for Bank is made how to main by People's Choice Credit Union. Use your brains, do your banking with People's Choice. You'll get personal local support and get on track for a better financial future. People'sChoiceCreditUnion.com, federally insured by NCUA.
Hot Mornings with Brian DeLon and Tara Fox.
Before we wrap up the show, I got to give a shout out to the third shifters out there. Today is Third Shift Workers Day. Celebrate those that work the overnights. You ever have to work an overnight shift?
Yeah, I hated it.
Most people do.
I couldn't handle it. I have to get out of here.
Is there anyone that enjoys working that third shift?
I actually don't know. Is it considered third shift if I worked from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m.?
That's just a terrible shift.
Or is that just the morning?
That's just a terrible shift. That's like a weird...
It was the worst shift ever.
Combo shift.
So what is first shift? 9 to 5. Second shift is nights, and then third shift is once you get past midnight.
I would say it's like midnight to whatever is third shift.
I feel like growing up, my parents always had friends that worked overnights, or they had significant others that worked overnights, and you'd go over to their house and it would be like 1 p.m. and they'd be dead asleep in the room and you weren't allowed to make any noise. And I'm like, why are they working overnights?
It's also so hard to like adjust.
It is such a skill to be able to do it. So bravo.
Yeah. Shout out bravo to all the third shift workers out there. Maura will take a third shift every once in a while. And then I'm like, is it worth it? Because you're a zombie for the next 2 days as your like body readjusts back to the regular schedule.
What makes it appealing? Is it way more money?
I think you get more money. There's time differential or whatever, and they get more money for staying up late at night. Or like you're able to get the kids off to school in the morning because you're working nights when they're asleep.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Some families work it out that way.
I met a bartender in Vegas. He was telling us, because we were getting drinks at like 9 a.m. and he was like, all right, guys, like I was here all night, so I'm heading out, but I'll be back tonight. And I was like, whoa, tell me more about that. Like, what's that schedule like? And he was like, I actually love it because now I'm going to go home and I have time to like bring my kids to school, pick them up after school, hang out with them. It's actually great for family time.
He just never sleeps?
I don't know. I did ask him that and he said he naps. So he said, I was like, because I had the same question. And I was like, what do you do to sleep if you're hanging out with your kids in the day? And he says he takes a nap after he drops them off at school.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just goes to bed really early. So he's not getting a full 8 hours, but he's getting like 3 or 4 hours here and there.
That doesn't feel good for the...
He was so nice, though.
No, maybe he's got it figured out.